Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah, Kathy's with us, and we're talking about home improvements, USA Prepare style, and the way we do things. And so, Kathy, what I did was we placed our outside air conditioning units out of the southern sun. So it's completely shaded from the southern side of exposure, if you will. But in the afternoon, the western sun is really, really strong here. And the sun would beat on the air conditioning units. So what I did was I bought a section, about 6 foot section of stockade fence. And I used 3 pound-in fence posts, those green fence posts. Pounded them in, and I just wired this section of stockade fence onto those 3 farm, barbed wire fence posts. And I wanted to see how it worked. So I didn't make it permanent at first, but it seems like it is permanent now because it's been there for years. And what it does is it keeps the sun off the outside units. And we don't use the heat pumps in the winter because we heat our house with wood. So we only use the heat pumps for air conditioning. And I do want the outside units to be shaded from the sun. So it's a great idea, but I don't want the leaves, and I don't want, the fins and the cooling, the evaporator. The condenser. I don't want the condenser to be clogged up with leaves, etc. And that's how we did it. So for about $40 or $35 for a section of stockade fence, you get it at Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever, a lumber supply place. That's how we did it. But if you do it, before you do it, just go into the sun, when it's sunny outside, wherever you happen to be, and stand there. And if you're 5.5 feet, 6 feet tall or taller, you'll see how tall you need that fence to be. So shade it, before you buy it with your body to see how far and if the fence would work. Any comments about that, Kathy?
Oh, yeah, Vince, that's a great idea. And that's really something to watch for, too. Like, when you are going to put whatever, like a garden or anything in, just to watch the sun and how much sun do you get in a certain area of the day and where it is. Because some people think, oh, I have a sunny area, and it's really mostly shady or vice versa. So that's a great idea. And, Vince, I'm sorry I never answered you about the termite. So I don't know anything about, I've never had them, and I really am not sure why they come, and that's not my expertise.
Well, you live in Ohio, and it's pretty cool there. Mm-hmm. So I know people in Michigan have never seen termites because they don't populate in cold areas. So that's a benefit of living where it's cooler. But if you live in Florida, where it's warm, or the Carolinas, or Virginia, you can get termites, and they like it damp and moist, and they don't like being in the sun. So they like it shady. So and what happens is, if you have ground contact, the termites live in the ground, and they like wood. I mean, they really like wood. They'll dig holes into wood, but when they get to see just near the outer layer of the wood, like the thickness of 2 sheets of paper, they go, that's too close to light, so they go back in. So you can have a 2x4 that is structural in your house that looks perfectly good, but inside it's hollow from the termites eating it. And they're really hard to find. So the way to stop that is, for us, is to not have moisture and mulch and, you know, shrubs, etc. Now, it doesn't look as good. I mean, our house does not look, you know, as nice as it could if we had shrubs. But that's one of the things that we've decided that we're just going to deal with. And also, it's unlikely that there's going to be a burglar walking around our house trying to hide under a window to break into a window, because all the perimeter of our house is wide open. And it's, you know, it's easily visible. So that's just one other thing. Kathy, kitchen, a desk in the kitchen? Want to talk about that?
Vince, can I give you, is it okay if I just give you a couple more quick pet peeves of mine about planting and what you shouldn't do? Because is that okay, or do you want to go in the kitchen?
No, absolutely, absolutely. What we do here at USA Prepares is we go into long explanations so that when you're finished with your class here at USA Prepares, you have enough information to get started. Okay, we're not just going to tease you. We're going to tell you what we really think. Yes, please continue.
Well, Vince, sometimes when you buy trees, they either have burlap and they're bald, or they have string, or they'll have a metal, like a cage almost around them. Well, the people that put the trees in this house, most of them, they never took the metal cage off the bottom of the tree. So a lot of them are just stunted, and I believe they're slowly going to die. They put some beautiful trees in, but my husband and I went out a couple years ago, and we dug around as much as we could, and we took, like, bolt cutters and tried to cut some of that metal away from them, and we pulled them away with crowbars. And so to dig them out would probably kill them. So we're just going to see if maybe we can revive them a little bit. But if you bring a tree home, you know, take the twine off. You don't have to mess with the roots that much, but take that metal ball off and just trim off any dead roots and then plant them. And then don't plant them too deep. I mean, plant them where the top of the root ball, you know, is there, just a little bit above the ground, and make it extra wide. Like, let's say your ball is 12 inches or 18 inches. I would dig at least double, but I even dig like triple. And really break up the soil good and amend the soil. But that's just a quick one on that one. My other one that was my pet peeve is the landscape fabric that people put down. They do it so they don't have to have weeds. But the negative to that is when I used to work in the nursery, people would come in and say, oh, I put my landscape fabric down and now I don't have to weed. Well, it's true, but it's not true. What happens is that the soil literally will die underneath there because it doesn't get the breakdown of like leaves, and you can't amend it. And if you have trouble with that shrub, if you try to cut it out, they put them around all around this house, and except for one area, I've literally dug it all out. But what happens is that when you lift it up, the ground underneath it was like a ugly grayish brown color, and it literally, like, the soil just died because it did not get, it got wet, but it didn't get any of the amendments from leaves or mulch. So and what happened was that the roots, instead of growing down, they were growing horizontal because they were looking for more nutrients. So one by one, a lot of those shrubs died. So I dug out what I could and I transplanted them. But to me, and like, if you don't want to have like a lot, let's say you just want to have herbs around your house or small things, that, you know, and then your soil and do it right. And if you're under, here's another one of my things that I did wrong. When we had the one house that was under construction, we put grass seed in. Well, we couldn't afford to put trees or anything in. Well, that was my mistake in some areas. What I should have done was every area that I did not want grass, you can use like a hose or you can use spray paint, and you just mark those areas off. And then even if you have to use like that black plastic to keep the weeds from getting out till you can put it in, otherwise you have to kill that grass or you have to have a sod cutter. So if you're going to have an area, like let's say you wanted to put in a garden next year, don't seed that area. Just maybe cover it with leaves, chopped up leaves, or with some kind of tarps or some kind of covering where you're not going to get a lot of weeds in there. And then you don't have that problem when you go to plant. So if I was going to have new construction again, any area where I was going to plant, I would just do that. I would, I would like mark it with spray paint and cover it so that when we went to seed, that area would get seeded, and then I didn't have to deal with it. And then it would give me time to amend the soil the way I wanted it to. So these are mistakes that I made. And the other thing, and I guess this is more for, it's for, so you don't have to take it out, but like if you were to look at a house off the road, you know, don't put your big tree like right in the middle. Put like one to the right and one to the left, like toward the front of the house. It depends on how much property you have. If you have enough, like we're set back pretty far. Because if you kind of want to look like it's going to frame your house. I like to be able to see the front of the house. Some of them are so overgrown that you can't see them until you almost get up to them, which is okay in some circumstances. But for me, I like the sun. And most of your plants, especially your perennials and shrubs, are sun-loving. So you really limit yourself if you have a lot of shade. But that's kind of some of my things I wanted to say of don't make the mistakes like for spring planting right now or if you're redoing a yard. And look at your bloom cycle. Like if, let's say you wanted to put in some shrubs and perennials, like try to get stuff for all four seasons, like spring, summer, fall, well, really three, really. For us, winter, we wouldn't have anything, but those three seasons. And the last thing I wanted to mention was kind of learn your areas of, like, your soil. Do you have clay? Do you have sand? And learn what plants can go in there, because if you try to put something that likes sandy soil and you put it in clay, it's probably not going to thrive. And if you just do a little education, or if you think you're going to put a hosta in full sun, like where I'm at, I have full sun most of the time. Unless it's got some shade, it's not going to make it. So the best thing to do, too, is, like if you know other gardeners, ask them. And a lot of my plants that I have gotten, not that I haven't bought a lot, but I know other people and we share our plants. Like, oh, this is really hardy. So we will share, like, cuttings from, like, sometimes you can take cuttings from shrubs, or if you get little ones that come up, you can exchange them or perennials. So I just wanted to mention that. And the last thing I wanted to mention, Vince, was when, and you know this, and you can probably explain it better than me, but when you're, like, leveling your ground, I wouldn't plant anything right away because that dirt's got to settle. And so all of a sudden you go through winter, in the spring, you can have like big holes and valleys. And so I would let it settle if you can and then come back and grade it and do a better job. But you probably know more about that than I do with the grading.
Well, I can tell you this. If you build a house, the excavation is removes the soil for the basement, etc. And when the soil's put back, it's loose, and then it sinks. Just like when you build a swimming pool, if you build that swimming pool, you excavate for it, and the walls of the swimming pool don't come to the full extent of the excavation. So if you put your concrete walkway around the swimming pool right away, it'll crack. So you want to wait a couple of years for the soil to settle.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want if you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch? We can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
You know, I counted to 10. And it still bothers me. Obviously, you know what I'm talking about. If you listen through the break, you probably heard what I heard. It bothers me. I don't understand it. I don't understand. The kiss of death in radio is talking about commercials. It's a kiss of death. But it just bothers me. I would like to have commercial advertising raise the bar rather than lower the bar. That's all I'm going to say. For now. For now. So, Kathy, I went to the internet and I typed in built-in kitchen desk. And I'm looking at images. I don't see hundreds of images. DuckDuckGo.com, and I typed in built space in space kitchen space desk, clicked on images. I'm looking at all these images of kitchen built-in cabinetry. Not one is one that I would use. They look nice, but they're too narrow, they're too high, they're too low. Some of them, they have a chair under there, and if you weigh more than 100 pounds, you will not be able to get your legs under the kitchen desk. They're poorly thought out. Some of them have drawers, and Some of them don't have drawers. Some of them have lights over the... we're talking about a kitchen where you have cabinetry, and all of a sudden you have a desk. And the desk in our kitchen, I'll just tell you what we did. It's 30 and a half inches high. It's lower than the countertop. So it's a few inch drop down from the countertop height, because that's what you want. You don't want your desk height to be the height of the countertop. It's too tall. Then you have to have a stool. You have to have a custom stool, because a regular bar stool is too tall and a chair is too low. So you want it to drop down a few inches. 30 and a half inches is right for us. And all you have to do if you're going to build one of these is figure out what your kitchen table is. What height is that? Well, if you have kitchen chairs that match your kitchen table, and let's say you have four or five or six chairs around the kitchen table, that's probably the height you want to have for your built-in desktop, probably. And then what you do is you figure how wide it should be. Ours is 5 feet wide. And then we have cabinets over that, and the cabinets have an LED light strip that I made that is 5 feet wide. And it's controlled by a switch. So there's a surface that's big enough for a computer monitor and a computer, but I don't want the monitor on, I'm sorry, I don't want the computer on the desk surface. So I took a little step stool. Yeah, we had an old antique step stool, probably 100 and something years old. And it's just fine to put the computer on it. A little tower computer, a little Dell, old Dell computer. It sits on the stool under the kitchen desk. And then I have some outlets for electricity under the desk as well, so that there's not power cords everywhere. And I drilled one hole, and it killed me to do it. So I measured the smallest power cord that I could find that would work with the computer monitor. And I drilled one hole in the corner of the back of the desktop surface so that the power cord can go through there, and the monitor, you know, video cable and the speaker cable and all the rest of it could go through this one hole. And the way you do it is you put the largest size connector through the hole first. Then you can fit the smaller ones through. So it's, you know, about an inch in diameter, maybe a little bit smaller, maybe 7/8 of an inch. So that's what I did, Kathy. So only the monitor and keyboard and mouse are on the desk. There's no drawers. There's, you know, some mugs that we keep pencils and pens in, and et cetera, and paper. But there are no drawers. But it's wide enough for two people to sit side by side and work on the computer. And that's where Mrs. Finelli hangs out, and she uses that computer in the kitchen. Any comments about that?
Oh, I think it's a great idea if you have the space for it, Vince. It sounds like you have a nice kitchen, nice large kitchen. That's a wonderful idea. It keeps it off the counter and off the table. It leaves that space open.
Yeah, well, we thought that the kitchen was going to be the focal point of the family and of the house. And so our kitchen is a large kitchen. It's 30 feet long, 3-0. You could probably park two small cars in there, maybe three, if you could maneuver. But, we took room from other spots of the house to put it in the kitchen. And you can do that. And we have bookcases in the kitchen as well.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki hailed the $1.9 trillion bill that passed Wednesday with very little money for actual coronavirus relief as the most progressive bill in American history. The bill is expected to be signed Friday, with checks going out by the end of the month. The Senate has confirmed Marcia Fudge as the head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, placing the longtime Ohio lawmaker in charge of the agency. Fudge, who represented parts of Cleveland and Akron in the House since 2008, is a former mayor and a longtime advocate for assistance for the needy. A bill that would grant legal immunity for drivers who hit violent roadblocking protesters while fleeing from them has passed the House in Oklahoma. House Bill 1674 has passed 79-18 on Tuesday and proposes measures to crack down on violent protesters who block roads or highways to paralyze traffic. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
As illegal immigration is creating a humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, lawmakers are furious that the Biden administration is turning a blind eye to the crisis. Dan Naraki with the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Following a report that U.S. Customs and Border Protection encountered more than 100,000 migrants along the southern border in February, one senator is demanding answers from the Biden administration. Missouri Republican Josh Hawley sent a letter to the White House calling for a hearing on Capitol Hill so senators can ask DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas about the administration's plan for dealing with the issue. Hawley tells Fox News that with a lack of information coming from the White House, participating in a hearing is the least they could do.
This administration's policies are acting as a magnet, and they are creating a full-blown humanitarian crisis at the border. Trafficking is up through the roof. It is through the roof, the exploitation of children, and this administration is doing nothing. They're looking the other way, and as you say, President, he won't even have a news conference. I mean, he won't answer any questions at all. The least he can do is actually send his administration chiefs to Capitol Hill and make them answer questions. What are they going to do about this crisis?
The illegal immigrant population fell to 10,350,000 in 2019 under the Trump administration, a decline of 12% since 2010. President Biden has now reversed those policies that worked. 14 Major League Baseball spring training games today. The early games start at 1:05 p.m. Eastern, and two late games starting at 8:05 p.m. Eastern. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
It's gonna be sliding.
Winner today's hot.
God, you're
take my
when you go
to the
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So, class, when you build your own house, I suggest you use plans. And look at the plans and see if the plans make sense. Just don't go with what some architect decides, because probably that architect hasn't lived in that specific house design. So, for example, what I did was I changed with Mrs. Fennelli. I mean, the whole family got together. We looked at the plans. We said, well, we can put some bookcases here. So we have a whole wall of bookcases in the kitchen. Why? Well, the cookbooks are there. The gardening books are there. The automotive repair books are there. You know, and then there's an area that we in the bookcase for a television. And we didn't have a flat screen back then, but I have shelves that were adjustable, so we modified them. So the built-in now is a flat screen TV with a Blu-ray player so we can watch videos, movies, etc. It's got the internet wired in there, and behind on the bookshelves, there's power on the bookshelves for the stereo system and the speakers and all that. The house is wired for sound, but they're old speakers. I had them. Mrs. Finelli had them. Our children had them. So we took all these old speakers and we just wired the whole house. So what we did was we took space from some places and put it in other places, and we decided that the kitchen was a focal point, and we made a large kitchen. It's got a sofa in there. It's got a screen so we can watch TV. The dogs can hop on the sofa with us. It's nothing special. It's covered with blankets so the shepherds can watch the video with us, listen to music with us. We can all be in the kitchen at the same time. There's a kitchen desk, which we've been talking about. So you can do all these things if you build it yourself and make your own mistakes. But if you buy someone else's mistakes, you'll probably see what I see on the internet right now, all of these images of all of these desks in the kitchen, built-in desks, and they're all wrong, every single one of them, according to my way of thinking, is wrong. Just like where the architect put the refrigerator in our kitchen. It's in the wrong place. It was in the wrong place. The dishwasher was in the wrong place. There are a lot of things that were in the wrong place. And why did the architect not put a freezer in the kitchen? Why not put a refrigerator that matches a freezer in the kitchen? You know, a $700 or $750 refrigerator right next to a $750 matching freezer. Why is that not in the kitchen? Well, it is in ours because we changed the plans. And you can do that if you make your own mistakes. So why, if you can, buy someone else's mistakes, Kathy?
You know, Vince, I was doing the same thing. I kind of looked at some of them. I don't have a desk in my kitchen, but some of the things that I thought of when you had talked about a kitchen desk, and let's say it's already a pre-built home and you have to utilize maybe like an awkward or a tight space. And maybe it can't be a desk like what you have, but I saw one person, they had room, they had a small kitchen, but they had room coming out from the end of the kitchen, like on the side of the cabinet. And what they did was they built a desk in on the side, and they built it out. And they had bookshelves on top of it, excuse me, and then they put their computer there or their laptop. But it wasn't that big, but they extended their kitchen, and it was really kind of charming. They used some decorative wood on the side, and it was really kind of pretty. And then I saw another one where she had like a corner, and it wasn't really functional as a desk, but she used it in her kitchen. She had it like her coffee, she called it like her coffee bar. And she had her coffee pot on there, and I think she might have had a toaster. It was in like an awkward place, but she used that counter in that space. They had it, you know, they matched the countertop. But the functional part, like you have, makes a lot more sense to be able to sit underneath it and to work on it. I like that idea better. But if you already have a pre-existing, I can see where. If you can maximize like an awkward or a tight space, if you need the extra storage or the counter space, or maybe you're just going to use it for putting your, taking notes where your phone calls go and maybe like doing bills or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got Glenn in Michigan. Welcome, Glenn.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And I enjoy the session on gardening and practical applications. I have two questions for either Kathy or Vince, but I have one comment first. As far as your setup with computers, entertainment, it took me, I've been involved around the computer business for 30, 40 years. Your setup is perfect. It's identical. I've drilled holes in countertop, my stand where I have all my monitors and everything else and wire them that way. My entertainment center, I do the same way. It's a computer-based to a big screen. I ran all the Cat 5. I have a basement through the floorboard. and everything else, so there's no wires anywhere else. But the questions I have are, one, I have about 10, 11 fruit trees on my property. I have pear, cherry, peach, and apple. I have fungus problems over the last 3-4 years. These trees are approximately 15, 20 years old. But I get extreme fungus on my apple trees and my cherry trees the last 5-6 years, where it basically wipes out the crop completely. And I don't like to use chemicals on them, so I don't know if there's a natural way to deal with that.
Kathy, do you have, obviously there's liquid copper fungicide and, there are chemicals. Other than that, do you have any suggestions?
You know, Vince, I really don't. We had apple trees and pear trees when I was a kid, and that I was born in the 50s. And I don't remember my dad really doing much with them. I know he pruned them every year. I would say the only suggestion I have, if you don't want to go with the extreme chemicals, is maybe go to a real reputable nursery. But offhand, Vince, I'm sorry. I just haven't had them since for a long time, and I don't recall what you put on them for the for a fungicide.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that can be done, I mean, you can buy the commercial copper type fungicides, but you can also try hydrogen peroxide. And, it's typically sold as a 3% solution. And you can spray that on the fungus, and it will probably help. And I don't think that hydrogen peroxide, look that up. Look up hydrogen peroxide, P-E-R-O-X-I-D-E. It's the same stuff that you buy at the dollar store or the Chinese factory outlet that you put on cuts and wounds and so forth. As a matter of fact, just as a sidebar, we have a spray bottle. And when our son goes out to pick something up, let's say he picks something up at the farm supply place. They leave it out for us, and we tell them, geez, we just can't be there during normal hours. So they leave it out for us, and we go pick it up. But he will dilute hydrogen peroxide in a spray bottle, and he'll spray what he handles. You know, I'm talking about the cattle feed, et cetera. He'll spray that down with hydrogen peroxide, spray his hands down, and of course he's wearing gloves. So we do that, and I'm talking about COVID, COVID prevention. So we use hydrogen peroxide here at the farm a lot. And you can try that. Look it up on the internet, hydrogen peroxide for fruit tree fungus.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. Have you tried that yourself personally or not?
We have an orchard here. We put in an orchard with the same thing that you have, pear. Cherry trees don't seem to grow here. We've planted them, but they all die. Peach, apple. So we have an orchard, probably 20 trees, and they're just starting to take off. And that was one of the things I wanted to mention today, really simply. So pretty soon, the ground has been, we've had the winter and it's been, the ground has been damp. I take what looks like a piece of, it's really a, it's called a fence post tamper. And what it is, it's a long bar. It weighs about 20 pounds. And it's like an axle for a car, but it's maybe 6 feet tall, maybe an inch in diameter. And I'll take that thing and I'll slam it into the ground when the ground is soft. I'll try to get down about a foot. And so when I pull it out, it leaves a hole. And I will pour some fertilizer, typical commercial fertilizer, in those holes around the perimeter of these fruit trees. And it really works. Kathy, any comments about that?
Good idea, Vince. Yeah, I think you have to get it down into the roots, especially around the drip line.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Glenn, any questions about that or comments?
Yeah. No, I'm good with that. Second question is back to gardening again. It's back to fungus again. It's about fungus on zucchini plants and squash plants. I've learned how to hurdle my tomato plants by just not watering the whole plant, watering underneath and trimming them up about a foot, and that's took care of that problem. But my zucchini plants, I've tried, and my squash plants, I mean, I don't even plant them anymore because they all go bad. I've tried, mild soapy water on them, but that seems to just destroy the leaves and stuff. I think you guys grow that stuff. Any suggestions?
Kathy, do you have any comments? I don't like zucchini, so I don't even plant it. I mean, my mother used to love it.
I love stuffed zucchini.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets powdery mildew, right?
Yeah. Well, I get it on my cucumbers. I get it on any of the viney plants. And I think sometimes it's the area that you're in, unless you're spraying with a commercial spray regularly. I haven't been able to control it either. And I'll look back. I do have some notes on it. I did do some stuff last year, but I can't remember the dilution, and I don't want to give it out wrong. So I'll look it up, and the next time we're together, I'll mention it then. But I did try spraying, and he's right. If you try not to water overhead, but I've done everything right where I've had cucumbers, and I'm getting a ton of them, and all of a sudden that powdery mildew comes in. You're done. You can't stop it.
You got a bunch of them, and all of a sudden, they're gone.
Yep. And well, I used to live in Monroe, Michigan, not too long ago, and I talked to one of the farmers there at the farmer's market, and he said, well, in the climate that you're in, we have a lot of trouble growing those kinds of things right here. There's something about, because that was near the Lake Erie. And he goes, there's something in the air that we just really struggle with it. But not everybody did. I always did, but I'm not one to use a lot of chemicals. I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion. I'm about 60 miles from Monroe, Michigan. I'm in Livingston County. And I'm on a lake, and I've come to the conclusion that it's the moisture, that creates this, no matter what you do. So just grow a little bit more.
I agree.
Glenn, I have a question for you. If you don't mind holding through the break, can you tell us why you are in class at USA Prepares? What makes you pay attention to this particular broadcast classroom? Would you mind telling us when we come back, and what we can do to do a better job, and how we can do a better job? All right, we'll be right back. Kathy's with us, and
the following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an
endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
I know Kathy has a lot more to discuss today, but Glenn, can you tell us why you are in class here at USA Prepares? What draws you to pay attention to us and spend your time with us, and then what can we do to do a better job?
The reason that I listen to your stream is I enjoy the variety of topics that you present throughout the week. I enjoy the educational value being unbiased by your teachers, as you call them. I believe that they're honest, good people, and I gain knowledge from listening to it. As far as what you can do to make USA Preppers better, I don't think there's much that you can do to make it better. I think what you need to do is try to enlarge the volume of people that will listen to this, because most of the GDP doesn't. But there are people out there that are unaware, I think, of the platform that you provide. That's it.
Very well. I don't know how to enlarge it. I've taken down the website because we get bashed and we get threatened by lawyers. And I'd love to. I'd love to put images of, you know, the shower rack, the shower head, the plumbing designs, the electrical wiring designs. I mean, there's so many really neat things that we could share. But I've been threatened by lawyers. I mean, literally, these guys, I don't know where they come from, but they literally threaten to bring me to court for the things that I put on the website. So I took it down. So that would be one way, and I'm not in social media, and I don't want to be. So there's no LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, et cetera. So, I mean, that's where the GDP hangs out, right?
I'm with you 100%. Like I also trade for a living, futures. And the people I trade with, we're scared to what we say when we talk to each other on the phone. It's
there you go.
The sad situation of what's occurring in the country right now. And I don't only think it's the contract.
All right, Guy. Let's maybe we can talk offline sometime and have you on and tell us about futures trading. Glenn, thanks so much for being with us and sharing your questions and your thoughts and and gardening concerns. And I believe you were the guy that said that we should plant the roots for the tomatoes horizontally, and that's what I'm going to try.
I wasn't that guy, but I was the guy that said you should trim them up about a foot once the plant gets a little high, and then water from the bottom out the top.
Right, right. Hey, thank you so much, Len.
Thank you for taking the call. Bye.
You bet. Okay, Kathy.
Vince, I found I found some information. So if Glenn wants to listen, I will mention it real quick. It's basically 1 gallon of water and 12 tablespoons of the hydrogen peroxide. And it was from there's a guy online called Deep South Danny, and he does a lot of gardening. And he says it's for viruses, fungal diseases, and powdery mildew. And I would spray it, if it were me, I would spray it in the early evening, not in the blazing sun. And then the other one that I found, and I did try this one, it's 3 tablespoons of your natural apple cider vinegar, the one that's got the mother in it, and 1 gallon of water. And you mix that up, and then same thing, you spray in the coolest part of the day. So that is good for fungal diseases and, like, black spot, and that's, I think, typically what you get on those viney plants. So that's,
yeah, I think you're right on.
I knew there was something I didn't want to give the wrong. Vince, can I ask you a question before we are off? It's not on the topic. Okay. Well, since you mentioned cars, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I know we've just gotten through winter, and I know people had to use their windshield wipers for the snow and everything. And what I understood from primarily my husband was, like, if you have ice on your windshield, don't turn your windshield wipers on because you're going to ruin them. I mean, you got to scrape it and warm it up first. But we had a friend say something about replacing windshield wiper blades. And my husband said to use 400 grit sandpaper. I believe, is that right? 400 grit. I hope I said that right. Anyway, he said to wipe it several times gently, and it revitalizes them instead of having to buy new windshield wipers. So I just thought it might be an appropriate time for you to mention it before everybody goes out and buys new windshield wipers.
Okay. All right. So what we're talking about is two things, several things. Number one, we live in a dusty area, and we never turn the windshield wipers on. When we leave the farm, we think that, well, it might drizzle, we might need to wash the windshield with the sprayer that you have to push the button. We always wipe down, lift up the windshield wipers, wipe the grit off that's trapped underneath it, wash the windshield with a gallon of water poured over it, wipe it off before we leave. Because if you turn on your windshield wipers and there's grit, sand, it will scratch the windshield. That's number one. Number two, never, ever turn on your windshield wipers when they are frozen to the windshield. You will either damage the linkage, break the linkage, and it's an expensive repair. Most people do it. They ruin their windshield wiper linkage. Always lift the windshield wipers off the windshield before you turn them on in the cold weather. And I believe you're right. You can use 400 grit emery or carborundum to not on the windshield, but only on the windshield wiper blade edge. And I believe your husband is absolutely.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.